we're going to give is four different groups, one being one category, and actually the last three in a different super category, three different groups in which we have heterim in regards to the last three. It's in regards to Ola Rai, and even sometimes by Yisuri Dorais, that will be the first group. And then we will have Hashlachos Halach Lamaisa. So that B'siyata D'Shmaya is what we're going to be doing today. The Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Chav Hei on the Beis tells us as follows. Have you met you had someone to turn on the air conditioner? Thank you. The Gemara tells us Hakol Moedin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hakol Moedin Shein Oisin Ol Arai B'Tchila B'Yomtov. That's a Gemara we discussed in detail already previously, or made reference to through a Rajba previously. And Rashi over there has a comment that's entirely irrelevant to the Chidushim of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan on the Sugya over there, where Rashi comments, V'dafka Gad. All of when we talk about the Yisra of Oel only applies to the Gad. Avo b'mechitza, the halacha is going, lav Oelhu. Mechitza is not an Oel. So Rashi is Shita number one, where Rashi says, if you want to talk about creating a house, building a house, if it qualifies as bona by putting up the wall, then you could be chayef for bona. But a mechitza doesn't qualify as an oel. That's what Rashi writes on the first wide line, going on to the second wide line. Tesis and Dibra Masla HaKol Maidim disagrees with Rashi. Tesis says, there's a Beferish Gemara, that says not that way. In Erevin on Sadi Dalit Amud Aleph. We're not going to do the back and forth with Rashi and Tosfos on how to read that Gemara. The back and forth about reading the Gemaras in Erevin are entirely sugyas in Erevin, on Daf Mem Dalit in Erevin, on Daf Sadi Dalit in Erevin. I'll just give you a reference in terms of the Karbanis Sanhedrin. He gives a beautiful shot where he points out that Rashi and Mem Dalit already took care of Tosfos' Kasha. The Karban Nisanel is Ostaf, I believe. But at the end of the day, it's a machlokis between Rashi and Tosos in regards to whether such a mechitza will qualify as Oel. Now, Tosos himself is aware that there are Gemaras that seem to be mashma, that mechitza is not going to qualify as an Oel. So Rabbeinu Tam introduces a very important yisod. Rabbeinu Tam's yisod is that there are two types of mechitzas. There's a mechitza that you build for convenience, then it doesn't have halachic significance. However, if you build a mechitza hamateres, a mechitza that is creating some type of heter, then that's going to be halachically significant. Now, the Tur and Shulchan Aruch are built in a funny way in our simin, because interestingly, they start off immediately with this sugya. So if you take a look in Shin Tezvav Aleph, we didn't go in order of the Tur because this is really a prat. But in the Tur Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, right away, the poskim, right in the beginning of Shin Tezvav, begin to discuss this prat called Mechitza. When is Mechitza fall into the category of Oel and when doesn't? Zok Dehele Getur in the beginning of Shin Tezvav. Also, lastly, Safilu Oel Arad Shabbos V'yomdiv. Upirish Rashi Shein Yisra Asiyas Oel Oel Begad V'loi Memechitzas. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish Din Mechitza Nami. Im Oysa Oysa Lahatir Sukkah Oy Lahatir Tiltul Asur. If it's being done to be Matir Tiltul, like that's what the Gemara was talking about in Sadi Dalet Amin Aleph, then Rashi is wrong. Because over there, the Gemara says that if you make a Mechitza to be allow you to carry, so then that would also qualify as a form of Oel. It's similar to the idea of making something that is functional. When you're making an Oel to protect you from the sun, you're doing something functional. So too over here, you're doing a Mechitza Hamateres, so then in such a case it will be halachically significant. In Shulchan Aruch, let's take a look immediately how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Tes Vav Sif Aleph, we have the Mechaber paskin the way the Torah said it. Also, lasses all the Shabbos v'yomtiv afilu v'yorai v'dafke gak al mechitzas mutar ve'em mechitzas sura elenke nasis leheter sukkah o lehatir tiltul. And then the Ramah says, okay, so what then is going to be mutar? The Ramah has an innocent comment. Avol mechitzah hanasis letznius ba'alma shari. But if the mechitza is not being made lehatir. So then that's not going to be considered halachically significant. And they wouldn't be in Isser Darabban. If you take a look at the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it in Sifkat and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah in Dibra Maskel Mutter says, the Iker Oel hu agag shemal olav. The Iker type of Oel is when you have a roof. V'lechein gazru mishum ol keva. Then we made Xer of Otel ol keva. Masha'en ke mechitza sarai lechud lo nechshiv ko'el klav. It's not considered in any way like an Oel. But if it you're doing something that, aha, a change is taking place, so then in such a case, it's going to be Asur. It says, Mishnah Berurah in Dalu, Bahatir Sukkah, Kigon, and he gives us the examples of that. Ramah continues, and he seems to say something innocent. We're passing like Rabbeinu Tam, and then he says, V'lochein mutter litlos vilon lefnei ha-Pesach. Therefore, it's permissible to hang a curtain in front of an opening. Even though you're putting it there for it to be kavua. Why? Because it's not a mechitza materis. So what is the Ramah saying? This is a Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says that if you want to hang up a shower curtain, and even you intend to leave that curtain there for a while, nevertheless, it's going to be mutter because we learned that the only type of mechitza that is considered like Oel Arai is going to be a mechitza amateris. If it's not going to be a mechitza amateris, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. Everybody understands the term amateris, right? The term amateris is clear. Tov, comes along the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in your booklet, it's on the second page. The Chazon Ish in Simon Nun Beis Sif Katan Yud Gimel does something quite audacious. The Chazon Ish did audacious things. The Chazon Ish says he thinks that the Beis Yosef is wrong. There are quite a few places over here in Simin Shin Tes Vav that the Chazon Ish has no problem in being mefakpek with the most standard of poskim. And the Chazon Ish says he finds the psak of the Beis Yosef extremely, extremely difficult. He says, at the end of the day, if you're leaving the mechitza there to be kavua, so then in such a case, who cares about the fact that it's a vilon? The Mishnah Berurah explains that since it's a vilon, since it's not something that is kavua, so then in such a case, it'll have a din of arai. In other words, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Vav. This is based on a Magen Avraham. Ratzalomer she'ena osui lahasim misham elatolu sham tarud afilu achi chashem mechitzas sarai kiman shuhuna v'na gruach mitzuya. If it's something like a shower curtain that would fly, that would move in the wind, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that it's not considered as if you're doing bona, you're not making something kavua mitzad the cheftza, and mitzad your bachshava, we don't care about the fact that you intend to leave it there for an extended period of time. Because, at the end of the day, it is only going to be chayiv outs oel. Outs oel, it's not materis. If it's not materis, and then in such a case, it's not going to be considered anything. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says, v'hu tema. Take a look at the Chazon Ish on the second page. V'hu tema. Dekiva dekoiva lios tolui ala tzirin, havle ketoyla delas al tzirel. Dechayiv mishum baina. Notice what's going on in the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is saying, you're right. Alsa gzeira oel arai atu oel keva. So when do we say a mechitza is a gzeira of oel arai atu oel keva? That's why mechitza amateres. But the Chazon Ish says, I've got another reason why it should be asr, and even chayiv, because it's bonet. What would the halacha be if you take a door and you add a door to its hinges? So then in such a case, you're going to be chayiv. Now, you're going to say this is not like a door. Well, why is it not like a door? If you're going to say it's not like a door because it's moving, it can move in the wind, why should that make a difference? If you want a shower curtain to stay there in that place, then that would be enough of a reason to be chayiv al tzbona. So to this day, there is a machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Chazon Ish's great-great nephew points out it's him against the entire world. I'll explain what I mean shortly. But it's a Chazon Ish against the entire world. Whether it would be mutter to hang up something and you intend for it to be kavua, but in of itself, it is something that is flimsy. Is that also considered bona or not? The Chazon Ish says yes. And the Machaber, the Ramah himself is based on a Beis Yosef. There's a big discussion what the sheet of the Trumas Hadeshin is. At the end of the day, probably Trumas Hadeshin as well. Almost everybody holds that it's going to be mutter. There is an excellent sefer, very, very comprehensive sefer. Oh, wow. It's the two hardest topics that we just spoke about. He wrote on. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's son. They call him Shuki. He runs the house. He probably runs the country. But so Rabbi Yitzchak Shol Kanievsky Shlita has two svarim on Hilchos Shabbos. One of them is on Lisha called Bar Gibel, and the other is on Ohel. It's called Ohel Arai. So there, he takes his great uncle's psukim extremely, extremely seriously. But there, when he outlines the sugya, he goes through in tremendous detail. It's a very, very interesting two set of svarim that he wrote. Tremendous detail. So there, he points out that the Chazon Ish Shita is not muskim according to Ruba Deruba Rishonim. But one should be aware that this is how the sugya breaks down. That you have a gzera of Ol Arai Ol Keva. Mechitza will also qualify as Ol Arai if it's a Mechitza Materas. What happens if it's a Mechitza that's Novinod? So then in such a case, could you be Chayiv Alts Bone even though you wouldn't be Chayiv Alts Ol Arai? It won't be Osir Alts Ol Arai. So here, the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, all assume that one would not, that doesn't qualify as bona. While the Chazon Ish says, if you could put a door on the hinges and that would be chai for bona, so too, if you put the shower curtain on the thing, so then that should also be bona. So that is a debate. The Chazon Ish Shita you could hear. It's just that Ruba Deruba Rishonim seem to be disagreeing. Yeah?
Isn't there a tzius of the case a little different? Because isn't the Ramah talking about, like, lissels blown, it's not like, there's no chibur happening. You're like hanging it over the rod. Is that not the
mitzvah? I think the mitzvah was that it was something that was able to stay there permanently. And that's mashmos on the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, that it's going to be kavua there. If it would be kavua, that would be something that...
That's not, that kvius isn't a kvius. Like mitzvah kavanah.
Oh, okay. So maybe what you're driving at is what the Aruch HaShabbos says. Why the Beis Yosef disagreed with the Chazon Ish? The Beis Yosef will say that at the end of the day, I'm not sure if this is what exactly you're saying, Rabbi, you'll add. The Beis Yosef will say back to the Chazon Ish, will say that as long as it's not truly mechuber, then in such a case, that's not going to be considered bona. In other words, the fact that you intend to leave it there is not enough to be chayv for bona. It has to be attached in a way that is associated with something that's permanent.
So that's what the Chazon Ish means, that even if it wasn't, like, because he gives the example of a door, door is mechuber.
That's what the Aruch HaShabbos is going to say back, correct?
So the Chazon Ish
will say no. Like, it will say, at the end of the day, if your das is to leave it there permanently until
So that's mechuber, that's how far your das takes you.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Could you also make Mishnah Berurah means the chilek that it doesn't prevent anyone from walk the reason it wouldn't be oral because the curtain doesn't prevent anyone from walking. So that would end up being the difference between a door and a shower curtain.
Right. But
so the Chazon Ish doesn't.
Right, the Chazon Ish says that that's not going to be significant. But l'chura, the Chazon Ish has a good taina. Once you have das, that should be enough. So the Beis Yosef is going to hold no, that das to leave it permanently is not going to be enough. It has to be something that by nature is a more permanent attachment than a vilon. But in a chanami, if you, I just want to add, let's say you take, just to spell out the obvious, just to the nth degree in this halacha, what happens if you tie down the curtain to the point that it's not going to be novinod, so you don't need bricks to be chayv ambonet. Once you've tied it down to the point that it wouldn't move in the wind, so then in such case that would be enough to be mechayv you. Yeah.
If we took the Chazon Ish to the logical conclusion, then he would say that, like, you know, putting a picture on a previously distinct hook on the wall would be bonet.
Oh, very good. So that's what his great nephew spends 10 pages discussing. Take a look and say for all the right. What would his great uncle say about that? Nachon. What's that? Some say it would be bona. Yeah. There's a Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh we mentioned who holds that there's room to say that. Yeah. Correct. Correct. It has to be, but it has to be a halachic. It has to be a mechitza, a functional mechitza. In other words, if a person, the Chazon Ish himself holds, we're gonna. This is from the bottom of the page. If a person holds up a mechitza, This comes up on Simchas Torah, holding up a canopy. So Chazon Ish says that that's not going to be significant. At the end of the day, there needs to be some type of permanence to it, but the fact that Zna V'Nad is not enough to say that's not Bona. So there has to be attached to the structure. To, if a person just holding it, then in such a case one would not be chai. The question is, how is it mutter to put up the talis? Something to think about for till the end of this year. How is it mutter to hold up the talis on Simchas Torah at the end of the day? Isn't that, wouldn't that be ohel? So that Mirtz Hashem we'll get to. Okay. Speaking of na v'nad, here the Chazon Ish has another ha'ara. And this, Rav Nevinzal told me at the time, I didn't know that was a Chazon Ish. Rav Nevinzal told me is a Davar Pashut. He said that the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkata Nevav, this Chazon Ish appears also in your booklet. And that is on the other side of the page, in V'hini Amagin Avram. That this idea of Na V'Nad, simple reading is that it would be something that would move in the wind. In other words, that if you hung the shower curtain in the if you hung the shower curtain outside, that it would blow in the wind. So the Chazon Ish is not convinced at all that that would be the criteria for inside the house. He says, "Di bar maskul hini amagin avram kasav the ba'inan sheyikshar lematish lo tanud beruach v'm lo kasha lo chashiv mechitza." Says the Chazon Ish, wait a second. At the end of the day, you have to ask whether it would is flimsy in your house, not outside. So it shouldn't be dependent on a ruach metzuya outside. It has to be dependent on whether it's na v'nad in your own house, which comes out to quite a chumrah. Then it's like Chazon Ish has a double chumrah over here, right? And he says that at the end of the day, it would have to be na v'nad in your house. What is na v'nad in your house? I asked the Talmidim to turn on the air conditioner. So the air conditioner creates a little bit of air movement. And you also have fans that are in the house. So something that would be normal movement in the house that's generated by air and people walking around and so on and so forth, it would be na v'nad, thus heisnish the mechitza, then that's not going to be called a mechitza. But anything less than that, the Chazon Ish argues, even according to the Beis Yosef, in such a case, that would be a problem. Rav Nevinzal thought that that was so. If that is correct, so then in such a case, that cuts down the scope of the Beis Yosef's heter a lot. It really would depend on the weight, the mass of the item, and there are some items that would still, you know, with basic movement in the home would move back and forth. But it would definitely then expand to many other items. For example, there's a lot of discussion, which we can't get involved with all of it, about a paroches in front of an aron and so on and so forth. Those things are generally not na v'nad. They're heavy enough that they would not be na v'nad in the wind. A shower curtain, maybe a shower curtain would be na v'nad. Yes, or Matthew?
They like other halachas, like in Be'er, they say it goes by what would be
outside.
Right.
Right. The Chazon Ish is saying that makes sense. Maybe in regards to dine mechitzos that are. Right, that's what he's suggesting.
In Zikin, we go by what's the Ruach Metzuya in that place.
In that area, so maybe that over here is... it's interesting, at the time I didn't know, the Chazon Ish, Rav Nevinzal told me, when he taught this to me, he said to me that, as a Davar Pashut, I just wrote it down, that he just presented, I didn't realize that it was a Chazon Ish at the time. Okay, in regards to the Hagdara of Mechitza HaMateris. What qualifies as a Mechitza HaMateris? So this is a very confusing topic. For years this has been confusing to me, and to this day, it's a little bit, even after I researched it, it is vague amongst the poskim. Let me start with, we always like Halach L'maisa, so let's start with Halach L'maisa. Are you allowed to put up a Mechitza in a shul? In a shul, the halacha is that you're not allowed to daven without a Mechitza. what qualifies as what needs a mechitza and what doesn't is a shir by itself. In one sentence, Rav Schechter seems to say in Eretz HaTzvi and in his shiurim that the definition of Beis HaKnesses revolves around whether there's an aron there. So therefore, when you have a Shabbaton, for sure the men and women can't daven together. That's a davar pashut. But there isn't a requirement to put a mechitza up. It needs to be a place, the Ran seems to say, it needs to be a place that was kavua for to say davar shevik dusha. So it's some type of din of a Beis HaKnesses. But in a Beis HaKnesses, whether you define al davar shevik dusha or the fact that it has an aron there, separate sugi by itself, we've even discussed this in Musar Shmuzin. At the end of the day, a shul does need a mechitza. The Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Hay then says as follows. If it's Litznius Balma, what's the Mishnah Brura's example of using something just for Litznius? So a shower curtain would be for Litznius Balma as well, right? A shower curtain would allow for if somebody wanted to go into the bathroom while somebody else is taking a shower, if there's a mechitza that's separating, that's called Litznius Balma. But interestingly, the Mishnah Brura doesn't give any example like that. He gives an example of separating men and women. Kigon lahafsik bein anoshim lenoshim kisheshomin hadrasha. Like a mechitza that's used to separate between men and women when it comes to hearing a drasha. So, by the way, here's a source that I don't want to get controversial now, but here's a source about separating men and women when it comes to a drasha. It's black and white in Mishnah Brura. Whoever said that never exists, it doesn't exist. It does exist sources for this. What's the hagdara of it? V'chulei v'chulei. So, it happens to be I have an article in my Sefer in the Sugya of Kiddushin, which describes the requirement of separating from a chashash yichud. If anybody would like to look at it, you could take a look over there. Different shitas, Rav Soloveitchik's Zatzal shita, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal shita, in regards to these hagdaras of when there's a requirement to have mechitza separating between men and women. Baruch Hashem, in Gross, Rav Lichtenstein's Zatzal, Yibad al-Chaim, Rav Miller shlita, have been doing this for many years, so we have already hagdaras in our kolel. But in regards to the halachos of Ohel, kigon lahafsik bein anoshim lenoshim kisheshomin hadrasha, there is a requirement to have a mechitza, when there is a requirement to have a mechitza between men and women when they hear a drasha, so that's called Litznius Ba'alma. So it would seem that what the Mishnah Brura is driving at is that it depends on whether the mechitza is being mati or something, or it's not being mati or anything, but it's something that's done because of course, it's based on Mordechi, as you take a look at the Sharetzion. It's being done because of reasons, even with Tznius. There is an idea of Tznius, of men and women not mixing with each other. That's an idea that definitely exists. So the question now, coming back to our question, again, I know that this begs many questions in terms of practically, in terms of Anhaga. It's important to recognize that these things exist. Practically, in regards to the mechitza of a shul, what's going to be the status of it? So here, I found two different approaches. I saw that Rabbi Ribiat is quite makel, even about putting a mechitza on a shul. If you take a look on page 1085, Rabbi Ribiat, in his examples, he says, hanging a sheet to serve as a room divider. As a general rule, hanging a sheet or tarp from hooks at the top is permitted, even for a place indefinitely. By the way, this happens all the time. For example, let's say you have a guest who's coming over and they want to sleep in the living room, and you'll just put up a nice, what do they call it, Chinese wall, one of those folding walls or something like that. So halach is that's mutter, that we have clear. That's going to be mutter, because that's tznius ba'alma. In such a case, that would be permissible. What about the case of mechitza between men and women? So, in example one, similarly, it is permissible to set up such partitions as a mechitza between men and women at a drasha kiddush, and that's mefurish. And then he also says, or for davening, for davening also, it would be permissible. In the funny photocopy on the next page, funny because Microsoft Word got upset at me for some reason. I can't figure that out. But on the next page, that comes from the Sefer Yesodei Halacha on the right after the page of Rabbi Ribiat. So that's from Yesodei Halacha, Chelek Beis, the Mar Makom is there. He quotes from Moshe Feinstein's Tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simin Mem Aleph, and Lamed Tes, about the requirement of having mechitza in a shul as being d'oraisa. There in my sefer, I discuss the differences between Rav Moshe Zatzal and the Rav Zatzal in regards to the nature of the chiyuv of mechitza in Beis HaKnesses. Rav Moshe had a higher shear and was magdir the isser a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, Rav Moshe says that's aser to daven in shul without a mechitza because of the chshash of kalus rosh. Rav Soloveitchik said it a little bit differently. Rav Moshe Feinstein pointed out that that din of mechitza was already in the Beis HaMikdash as well, and therefore it would be mustaber that that requirement also apply to a Beis HaKnesses. And therefore the Yisodei Halacha argues that in such a case, you can't daven in a shul without a mechitza, that Rav Soloveitchik definitely agreed with. He didn't let people go to shul to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it didn't have a mechitza, except for certain situations. So therefore, the Yisodei Halacha argues that this would be a mechitza hamateras, and therefore would be usher to do. So practically, we have a machlokas between, on the books, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Ribiat and the Yisodei Halacha, Rav Devir, about whether putting up a mechitza in shul qualifies as a mechitza hamateras. Now, it's not so clear what Rav Ribiat's svara is. Bechura, he's 100%, Rabbi Devir is 100% right. At the end of the day, you can't daven in a shul without a mechitza. Maybe it could be that if you're davening at home in a Shabbaton, and it would be nicer to put up a mechitza, then in such a case, everybody, according to the way our Rabbeim taught us, then you could put up a mechitza. But a mechitza in a shul where it's required al pi halacha, so then in such a case, there might be a nafkamina in the porch in the Tavarye. It always disturbed me that there were times it was put up on Shabbos itself. So usually when something disturbs me and I think it's wrong, that it was wrong, usually what the people were doing was right. So it could very well be then the porch in a Tevarye that doesn't qualify as a Beis HaKnesses. So it's not, Lutznius Palma, Meikr Dedina. The last thing you want to tell a Shana Aleph guy in a Tevarye is that you don't need a mechitza there. But at the end of the day, Meikr Dedina could be that in such a case that the mechitza would be mutter. It would be mutter to daven without a mechitza, Meikr Dedina, if you understand that it's a din in Beis HaKnesses, like many seem to understand, and therefore it wouldn't qualify as a mechitza hamateras. But what about in a shul? What about in a shul itself? And yesh ladin, what I just said, this is l'hagdol Torah l'adira, yesh ladin. So here, if you take a look at Rabbi Ribiat, I'm sorry, I'll take your question shortly. If you take a look at Rabbi Ribiat, he asks that question on himself, and he connects it to another sugya. And the other sugya that he connects to is in regards to someone who makes a mechitza in front of a candle. So, what we're going to do is summarize what's said in regards to the mechitza in front of a candle, and then I'll give a little bit of background about that sugya, because that is a beautiful yisod. The Magen Avraham differentiates between a case in which a person is covering a candle, he's preventing a candle's light. What of course is the sugya? That's in regards to tashmish hamita. The halacha is that it's aser to have tashmish in front of l'or haner. So the Magen Avraham points out that if a person covers the candle to the point that the candle is entirely covered, but not that he makes a mechitza hamateres. A mechitza hamateres, the Magen Avraham says, would be something that's 10 tefachim high. But rather, he just simply covers the candle. So then in such a case, the Magen Avraham says, it could very well be that doesn't qualify as a mechitza hamateres. There's something called kisui, and there's something called a halachic mechitza. So Rabbi Ribiat suggests that when there's a mechitza that's being put down between men and women, in such a case, it could be a din of kisui. It's just to separate from the men and women. Not that you're creating the din mechitza. So then in such an instance, if it has a din kisui, so then it would be mutter. I'm going to go to this Magen Avraham shortly. For those of you who want to ask on Rabbi Ribiat, so it might be kedai to see the Magen Avraham, and then we'll bring it out. I think, before we even mention that point, I think what Rabbi Ribiat is saying is quite a chidush. The pashtus in the Beis HaKnesses, what's being done is making a mechitza. You're making a mechitza. It's not just that you're separating between the men and the women. You're creating a halachic mechitza. It's not just that kisui, that the men and women can't see each other. V'harayer of Soloveitchik held that there are times that it's going to be mutter for them to see each other. But you're making a halachic mechitza to separate between the men and women. But Rabbi Ribiat suggests that it would be mutter. And then he points out that there are many who reject the Magen Avram. So therefore, bottom line, l'aniyas daiti, I find Rabbi Ribiat's heter difficult. I find the yisod de halachas yisod much more palpable. And it would seem to me that not only is Rabbi Ribiat right that lichatchila you should do it Erev Shabbos, but it would seem to me that it's unless there's a tremendous tzorech, one should not make a mechitza in a shul on Shabbos. I leave it for other Talmidei Chacham to decide what about in places where it's more ambiguous whether there's a requirement of mechitza altogether, then it could be that it would be for tznius ba'alma. But Rabbi Ribiat's yisod, I find quite mechudash. Yes?
The Dirshu who's to Orchaz Shabbos is saying the same thing as Ravuri is saying in the footnote here.
Wow. That's Kisui Balma.
That meaning that he's...
What's his Lashon?
I mean, I don't know his real Lashon, but I just can tell that Dirshu quotes his Lashon. In Rechevas Mechitza HaMateres, Shekin L'chavtu Ben Rashi L'Nashim, Ein Sof Mechitza Sheish L'Dini Mechitza.
Right.
El'atai B'chol Mechitza Sagoramas L'Havdala Shots News.
Right, right. So, right. So I'm not... So this might be l'shitasli of how I understand mechitza and what I wrote in Maseches Kedushin, that I think that there might be more of a din of creating a mechitza. Could be I've been influenced by Rav Soloveitchik's approach in terms of mechitza in general. But I think Rav Moshe holds that way as well. So both Rav Soloveitchik, it could be that in Eretz Yisrael they look at it differently. By the way, it will come out of Chumrah in terms of Hilchos Mechitza. If it's a Kisui Ba'alma, so then that means that the men and women can't see each other at all. It's supposed to be entirely Mechusa. If you hold that there's a din of Mechitza, so then there might be room to say that they're allowed to. So my Chumrah in Hilchos Shabbos might be a kula in Hilchos Mechitza in terms of a shul. And a kula in Hilchos Shabbos might be looking at it as a kisui, that it's just something that covers them, that the women are in a different room. Now, shul mevak shemis, that's how we're starting at. Men and women, there's no room for the women. So women are basically outside. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
The question is, what type of mechitza is Rabbi talking about here? Because he's using as an example hanging a sheet or a tarp. But then
right.
The Mishnah Berurah say that, objectively, that's not considered mechitza because it's not a nud.
Oh, in a chanami. He would be talking about a curtain or a tarp that's not nod v'nod.
So then it would be whether even for separate between men and women, because that's not a mechitza at all.
No, it goes the other way. If you have, let me process what you just said. If you have something that's, no. If you have something that's a mechitza hamateres, that's nod v'nod, so then in such a case, then that would be problematic. If something is not novenod, then it would be bona.
If it is novenod, then it's still problematic?
Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, I understand what you're bothered by, but let me explain, Rabbi Yaakov. If you have something that's not novenod, then you're going to be chayiv in all instances according to everybody, because that's no different than building a wall. If you have something that's novenod, so then, the only way it's going to resemble Oel Arai is if it's a Mechitza HaMateres. Okay? I understand why that point was confusing. To appreciate the Magen Avram, do you mind, Ruben, if I just want to push ahead? To appreciate what the Magen Avram is doing over here, let's take a look at the let's go all the way back to the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe in Shin Tes Vav. Yeah, Shin Tes Vav Dalid, quote, deals with a Mordechi. Let's see if we could find it in the Ramah. Let's immediately do it in the Ramah. In other words, we're going to do the halacha of the Mordechi in the Ramah, and then we're going to see the Darkei Moshe's question. At the end of Sif Aleph, let's go Keseder in Sif Aleph, where we're up to in the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'chein Peroches Lefnei Aron Kodesh. You could also put the Peroches in front of Aron Kodesh, because that's only Litznius Balma. You always have to be careful. Whenever you're doing the mechitza, it's only going to be mutter if you're not creating a gag tefach. And you're allowed to put a sheet in front so that the wind won't put it out. Avo, Also, lasos mechitza b'fnei or a ner kadei shamish mitasa. But the halacha is that one is not allowed to have tashmish in front of an ner, and therefore you're not allowed to put the mechitza in front of it, because that would qualify as a mechitza hamateres. Now, the darkly motion sifkat and dalid asks that there is a beferish gemara that says not that way. That says mutar lasos mechitza b'fnei or a ner kadei l'shamish mitasa b'yomtiv. That you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And he points out, Shabbos and Yom Tov shouldn't be any different. So the Darkei Moshe has a kasha. On the one hand, we said Mechitza Materes is going to be Aser. And that's what the Mordechi describes. Yet, when it comes to a Gemara in Beitza, it seems that it's going to be Mutter. So, the first answer that the Darkei Moshe attempts is to say that he didn't make a full halachic mechitza because he did it in a way with a shinui that we're going to get to later. That's one suggestion. However, the Magen Avraham gives a different suggestion. The Magen Avraham says that there's tzvei dinim. Magen Avraham Sivkat and Gimel says that there's something called making a halachic mechitza where you put something that's 10 tefachim high up in front of something else, and then it's considered another room. And then, the best way to describe it is the kosher lamp. You cover it, you entirely cover it, like the kosher lamp. It just partially disappears. So then, if you cover it in a way like you cover the kosher lamp, so the kosher lamp is not going to be a mechitza. No one's going to say you did a mechitza, you did a kisui. So the Magen Avraham says, the Gemara is telling us that's mutter to make a kisui. A kisui is going to be mutter. The problem is the halachic mechitza, and that is going to be problematic as a mechitza on a teres. That's a beautiful teres that the Magen Avraham brings down. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Shin Tes Vav, Sivkat and Yud. He points at five lines from the bottom of page Kuf Chav Beis. He points out that there are achronim that don't like this pshat. And lechatchil, the Mishnah Berurah says not to rely on this kisui ba'alma. So Rabbi Ribiat says that this mechitza, all it is a kisui ba'alma. But he says lechatchil, you should do it on Erev Shabbos because at the end of the day, there are those who disagree with the Magen Avraham. As we pointed out, if you hold that the mechitza is a real halachic mechitza to be matir davening in the shul, so then there's room to be mefalpel and say that that qualifies as a mechitza materis, even according to the Magen Avraham. But Rav Ben points out to me that it's not only Rabbi Ribiat, the Archos Shabbos as well says this. Okay, one more point about mechitzas, and then b'siyata d'shmaya. We've done this difficult sugya in a way that hopefully was shavel l'chol nefesh. Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Why? What's the difference between a mechitza that's meant to go back and forth and a door?
That's a chazanish's question, right?
No, I mean a door that's already like to close the door. Everyone agrees what to close the door.
Right. We're about to discuss. We're going to discuss. That's, it. That's going to be in Tnoim B'dinei Oel. Okay. We're going to, I think, get to your point. Okay. Now, one more example in terms of, and actually, Rav Yifrach and I realize that this is that this comes up as halacha l'maisa. He asked me. He said, you're learning Oel. I had a Shaila. It's very similar to what I saw a Chiddush from Rav Shlomo Zalman, a beautiful Chiddush. If you take a look at your booklet, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, of course, everything that's Osir to do Alts Boneh is going to be Osir for Soser as well. Everything that's Oel is going to be Osir as Soser. If it's an Oel, then taking it down is going to be Soser. But what happens if you have a Mechitza HaMateres, but you're no longer using it as a mechitza hamateres? So let's say the couple put up a mechitza because of tashmish in front of svarim or in front of a candle. Now they want it, and now it's no longer necessary. Now are you allowed to take it down by migud iskatzoi, as an expression ba'alma, by bein hashmashos when you put it up on the erev Shabbos? So then it was a mechitza hamateres, but now it's no longer a mechitza hamateres. Zok the heilig shmiu Shabbos kilchasa, the last sif katan. In Chav Dalid, it's in your booklets. Chav Dalid Lamaches, Kishem Shaasim Lasos Mechitza Materes, Kach Aso Lefarka, Baodesh Mishamesh, the Mechitza Materes. You're not allowed to take it down when it's a Mechitza Materes. Ach! La'achar She'ein Oit Sarechba, Vishuv Eina Mishamesh, is Kimechitza Materes, Harimut Lefarka. If you're no longer using it as a Mechitza Materes, so then in such a case, one is allowed to take it down. A beautiful Svara. From Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, as he points out in the footnote. Now, in an earlier footnote, I believe it's Yud Zayin, yes. He leaves open a question of those things like toys that a child makes The shaila that Rav Yifrach had asked me is something very similar to what Rav Shlomo Zalman discussed in Sif Katan Yud Zayin. He references this psak that we have in Sif Lamech, Sif Katan Yud Zayin, Ha'ara Yud Zayin. Not Sif Katan Yud Zayin, Ha'ara Yud Zayin. There, that appears on Sif Dalet, Sif Katan Dalet in Chav Dalet, Chav Dalet Dalet, Ha'ara Yud Zayin. Rav Shlomo Zalman was discussing the following shaila. We pointed out, Rav David mentioned this at the end of Shir, last time, that there are many children's games that have shailas of Ohel. We pointed out, Rav Yaakov gave his examples, everybody's childhood has their own examples. So from Rav Yifrach's children, one of his children was playing alone in his room, and very creative child, and between the two beds, he hung a blanket, and he, with clips, he managed to have the blankets hanging between two beds, and he built something underneath in the beautiful imaginary world of a child. So something so beautiful. So now the shaila was, are the parents allowed to take it down? That was the shaila. Okay, so says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I have a suffix. If that's the same thing as a mechitza mataris, that's no longer a mechitza mataris. When's a mechitza mataris? The only thing that made it Ohel Arai was because you wanted to use it to be matir something. Over here, it's objectively an Ohel Arai. It's not Ohel Arai, but it's Ohel Rabbanan. It's Ohel Arai. So when it came, on Shabbos, it was already an Ohel Arai. The fact that the child is no longer interested in using it, is that enough to be matir? Actually, in this case, it was interesting. Could the parents decide that the child is no longer interested? It's the parents' items. Gets involved in the Dorim Shilas, right? So in such a case, what happens? Let's make it simple. In a case of where you made a Ohel Arai in Erev Shabbos, and now you want to take it down because you don't have any purpose for it anymore. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal over here is quoted as leaving it off as a tzarachin, whether he would extend his heter by Mechitza Materes to this case as well. I was surprised to see the Rav Nevensal Shlita in the newest edition. I was surprised because I didn't know it from the older edition, but in the newer edition it's quoted, you have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes there, in the newest Yitzchak Yikare, I didn't get a chance to speak with him about this yet, hopefully maybe tomorrow, he there says, Adavar Pashut, that if a child's been playing and constructed something and is no longer going to use it, it's mutter to take down. That just like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, over there would be mutter, Rav Nevensal extended that svara, even though in the Shmir Shabbos it was left open as a question. So that appears in the newest Yitzhak Ikari, it doesn't appear in the older one. Tov, so we finished Roman numeral 1 in regards to the sugyas of Mechitzos. Okay, now we're going to be ready to really get into the halacha l'maaseh of Ohel. If you remember, started asking me about carriages last time, v'chule, I said we need to do a few more Pratim. Basically, what we've done in these two shiurim is basically three categories. Number one was defining Ohel Arai, Ohel Keva. Number two was discussing halachos and mechitzos. And number three is then going to be basically applying, and this is where the expression goes, the devil's in the details. We're going to have to go through quite a few details in Rishonim before we get to a lot of the instances that we're going to be able to be Masik Shemaitza Aliba de Elchasa. However, there is one very, very basic rule that the Talmidim Yikaram alluded to already that is going to be important in terms of Halacha Maisa, which is a straight-up Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Tes Vav Hey, which is based on a Beferish Gemara on, I believe, Daf Kuf Lamin Ches. And that, what appears in Shulchan Aruch, is as follows. Kisui, kisei, ha'asui leprakim. If you have a chair that is made with joints, ukesherotzim leishev alav, poskhen also, and when you want to sit on it, you open it up. V'ha'ar niftach. So to this day, we have them like beach chairs, that they open and close, and now the or underneath the chair is now being mahil on items underneath. Then you're allowed to open it. This, Rabosai, is the biggest heter in Shilas of Ohel. And that is, if you have something that's, the way the poskim refer to it is, Ovid Vikai, that is the way it is made, that is the way it is built, so then in such a case, you're allowed to open the Ohel. And therefore, that opens the floodgates of heterim in regards to Ohel that are all based on the same yisod. And that is that the item is made to open and close, even if it's being made to be mahil. The case of the Gemara was a case in which the chair wasn't made to be mahil on other items. Nevertheless, the poskim extended to items in which they're made to serve as an ohel. If it's avid vika'i, you didn't have to create it, it was already there. In contrast to what we spoke about last week of putting up a tent, etc., etc., there, it didn't exist before Shabbos. But what happens if you have an item that was already made, but it was closed? So for example, a canopy that was closed, and when I was a child, I always thought that opening up a canopy should be the ultimate paradigm of ohel. So that was another one of my errors. And that is that when it comes to a canopy halacha l'maisa is going to be mutter. You're not going to even need a tefach. We learned that you have to. The only time it's mutter is when you're mosif tefach. But here, the canopy, you don't even need a tefach. Why? Because it's avid v'ka'i. So then in such a case, one would be allowed to open the canopy. We could see this in the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa. So we take a look in Chav Dalet Chav Gimel. It's already a little further on in your photocopies. If you take a look, Chaf Gimel, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Chaf Dal, Chaf Gimel, Mutal of Toach, Kisei Nach, Mita, Vesholchan, Amaskaplin, Vechain Lul, Sheltinokas, Mekimish, Regilim, Kach, Vecholach, Halakim, Vechubarn, Leguf, Echot. You're allowed to open up all of these items. Right. He doesn't spell out the canopy, but it would seem to me that the canopy as well would be permissible. I didn't see anywhere that says that would be prohibited. Similarly, if you take a look in the Arch of Shabbos appears on Terek Chi Os Hey, Mutter Leftoach Gagon Shel Agalat Yiladim Hasui Digmat Haschacha. You're allowed to open up the stroller's roof because that's no different than the canopy. That all falls into the category of Avid Vikoi. Similarly, Siv Gimel, Gagon, here you have the canopy in the Orch HaShavuz. Gagon HaMechuber B'tzirim, V'asui Kimin Delas, Mutl Sagro L'Fov T'chov V'Shavuz. If it's made like a door, so then in such a case, the canopy is allowed to be open. So many, many instances of Oel, if it was built that way, so then in such a case, all of those instances are going to be mutter. That is the biggest heter for Oel that exists out there. And it all starts with Kisui, Kisei Ha'asui Prakim. Yeah.
The chair falls and opens, so that's what we're
right.
Why is it when, if you pull out the canopy,
right,
that's not considered an Oel? If you have it rolled up,
right,
and then pull it
out. Because that's not. It needs to have a mechanism. The chair has a mechanism in its joints.
It has a frame.
Right. It needs a mechanism. If it doesn't have a mechanism, so then that makes it of a vikoi. The fact that it's rolled up is not of a vikoi. It could be that mechanism you could define as a frame. Okay, Rabosai, now we get to the hardest part of the entire sermon. We saved the best for last. But the Siyata Deshmaya, I hope we'll do it in an organized way, that even this should be clear as well. We have three more heterim that apply to Oel, all in regards to the sugya of Oel Arai, which revolve around one sugya. And that sugya appears on the first page of your booklet. It appears on the back of the summary of the outline, and it's the last line in the Gemara, Beis Alamid Beis on the Beis. The Gemara describes that once upon a time, the way they would build a fire for a chash of a people was they would build it in a manner which was like a small binyan, and they built it in a particular way, starting with mechitzos and then covering it. It's referred to midurasa. What's that?
You want to give a Mordechai and see it now.
Yefemot, preparing for Lag Bomer. Again, we're into the Rashi's at the end of the Yomid for today. So Rashi explains two lines from the bottom of Lamed Beis and Beis. Kederech binyan, they would make the fire osenlo Ksalim Midal Ruchos, they will make first boards on all four sides. The Sodom Eitz Lamala, the Doim Elayel. It's similar to Oel, and therefore Rashi, the Gemara says that it's going to be Aser. Says Rav Yehuda in that Gemara, Hai Midurasa, if it's an Issur Rabban, and then we have, I'll oversimplify and call it a Heter of a Shinui. Hai Midurasa Milamala Lamata Shari, Milamata Lamala Aser. If you build it from top down as opposed to bottom up, nobody builds it normally from top down. You always generally build from bottom up. So if you do it with a shinui, remember, of course, shinui is not going to be matar and isa daraisa, but this is domela oa. It's just oa, it resembles oa. So it's an isa darabana. So isa darabana with a shinui is going to be mutter. That's what the great Amora of Yehuda taught us. Now we're going to have two layers of discussion within the Rishonim. This already, though, is heter number one. Heter number one is that if you do, only if you do it, the oel keseda. This appears in Shintes Vav Gimel. This Gemara already appears in Shintes Vav Gimel. Or appears, is crunched in Shintes Vav Gimel. The Mechaber says, Mita, if you're going to make a bed. Now the Poskim spell out that a bed is used also for things that are underneath it. A bed, you put your slippers underneath the bed. Right? Or when I was younger, we throw everything there when my mother told me to clean up my room. So definitely a bed is definitely used as a very, very functional oa. Okay. At least that's why I say my wife, I didn't. Or my mother told me to clean up the room. Okay. Mita kishma midin osa asa laniach haragolim tchila v'laniach alei akrashim. You can't build the mita in the normal way. Ela yasam akrashim tchila. First you put down the supports. El yasam akrashim tchila ba'avir va'achek kacharagon. First, you put down the mattress or the vertical, the horizontal part that would be below below the mattress, and then you put down the legs. You do it with a shinui. So that's this Gemara of Yehuda on Beitza Lamed Beis Amabei. So this Rabbi Osai is Heter number two. Heter number two is, if you do it with a shinui, in many instances, not all, but in many instances, it's going to be mutter. That's where it gets a little bit complicated. Heter number two is not just Heter number two. We are going to need another couple of conditions as well. So again, to summarize what we have up until now, is we have number one, Heter number one is Ovid Vikoi. Heter number two is that if you do something that's an Issur Darabanan with the shino of changing the order, that's going to be mutter. Now let's pick up with a Tosos. Tosos on that daf, on Lamed Beis on the base, and it will be quoted in the Beis Yosef as well, deals with the following question. Tosos says, but wait a second. We're not so machmer about this. Says Tosas, the Ramas Lamata Lamala, two lines in, Vim Taimar, Heichi Misadrin Shulchan, She'en Lo Raglaim, Algavi Safsalim Shalo, Dimitchila Masim Nasasal, Vachakach Masim Nalei Nasa Shulchan. Tosas says, when it comes to building the tables, we don't do that. We put down first the legs, and then we put it on top. Yeshlaimar, Dahil Vein Lahem Nechitzas Shari. So here Tosas gives us another heter. Taisus says that if you have something that doesn't have mechitzos, so then in such a case, it doesn't qualify as an ohel. An ohel is generally something that has mechitzos. So Taisus actually introduces the idea that when it comes to those things that resemble ohel, you need to show that you have an interest for the area underneath. Remember we learned that the Isser of Oel is that you want to protect yourself from the Shemesh and so on and so forth. So says Taisus, if it doesn't have mechitzos, so then you really can't use it as very much of an Oel. So if it has mechitzos, then it's possibly an Oel, then you have to do a shinui. But if it doesn't have any mechitzos, then in such a case, it would be mutter. One of my initial reactions in looking at when I first saw the desks in the Kollel classroom was, this is one of those shulchanas that for Tosas you would have to do with a shinui, because we have mechitzas around three sides. Actually, three is a fascinating pilpul in the Be'er Halacha. But at the end of the day, this is exception number two, that doing a shinui. And you don't, according to Tosos, you don't need a shinui if it's an item that doesn't have mechitzas. That is another heter. We're going to see that there, Heterim 2, 3, and 4 are all Yesodos that were introduced based on this Gemara about the Mita. So Heter number 1 is changing the number 2 is changing the order. Heter number 3 is, even if you don't change the order, because we didn't do it when it comes to Shulchanos, is that there isn't the Mechitza. If there isn't the Mechitza, so then you're not really interested in that which is underneath. You're not really interested in that which is underneath, so in such a case, it's going to be Mutter. Now you can't paskin in regards to Halacha L'maisa yet, because it does get a little bit more nuanced. Take a look at the Beis Yosef, and that will bring us to Heter number 4, which it comes from a Kasha. The Rajba asked on Tesis. The Rajba asked the following Kasha. If you take a look in the Beis Yosef, it's a Sivkatan Gimel. The Hiksha Rajba, it's halfway through Sivkatan Gimel. The Good, Mi Avdi Le Mechitzas. Good was an example in the Gemara in Shabbos of a Mechitz, of a Owel that was made where they would spread a hide above wine to protect it, to protect the wine which was below. Now over there, they didn't spread the hide on top of mechitzas. They either hung the hide down over the barrel, or they put it over poles, but it didn't have mechitzas. So ask the Rajba, how could Tosas say that the halacha is that it's going to be mutter if you don't have mechitzas? When it comes to the good, good being the hide that they hung over it, they did it even without mechitzas. And then we get to rule number 4, which is heter number 4. Efshar, says the Beis Yosef, shimuteres mipnei she'ei mishtamish ba'avir shevetachtav. He says they didn't use the air underneath of the shulchan. No one's interested in the air underneath the table. In contrast to when it came to the good, no, they were being mahil for that which was underneath to protect the beer, whatever the exact purpose is, that they would cover the beer with the hide in the case of the good. So therefore, in the case of the good, the halacha is that it's going to be aser, even though it doesn't have mechitzas, because you're interest in what is underneath. However, when it comes to a shulchan, then you don't need to do a shinoi in a shulchan because you're not interested in that which is underneath. So Rabosa, we have 3 different rules that come out of the Gemara, and now we just need to learn how to use them. Number 1, in general, there's a heter of a shinoi. That heter of a shinoi is not necessary if you don't have mechitzas, but if you don't have mechitzas and you're interested with that which is underneath, so then in such a case, you will again need the shinoi to be mutter. That sounds pretty complicated. No, it's a little bit complicated. It's on your cover sheet, but comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he summarizes it so beautifully for us. Without what we do without the Mishnah Berurah. This is an example of where, you know, you have among Avram and the Taz going back and forth, boom, 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 boom. And you have among Avram who says, you know what, just before this, if I'll just give you a very simple introduction that will help you. So we introduced it through the Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't teach through the Rishonim, which is one of the reasons why some people prefer the Aruch HaShulchan over the Mishnah Berurah. He just tells you the random rules. So here he gives us the random rules, but now you'll understand. It's based on the Gemara that has the heter and shinui, and then 2 more other possibilities in that sugya. Let's see it in the Mishnah Berurah crunched. Sifkat and Yudzayin in the Mishnah Berurah, beginning Sif Gimel. Hine, kidei shenavin heitev as divrei asif, akdim akdama tzara. Let me give you a short introduction. Vu. Da'af de le'inyin binyin keva. Afim also ezed over mashu lehosef ala binyin. If you have a binyin keva, if you want to add to it, bein b'mechitzas bein b'gag chayiv, v'kol shkein moses kol agag, mikol mokom le'inyin ol arai. We're only talking about now ol arai. Notice on the cover page, we had heter number 1, avi v'koi applies in all instances. Heterim 2, 3, and 4 only apply in regards to ol arai. That what? Le'inyin ol arai lo asru ba'oises agag l'chud, when is Oel Arai Aser? That's when you're generally doing it to protect yourself from the sun or the rain. Avo, Belava, Chilo Asru, but in general it's not Aser. Ki im, Ba'osa Ga Mechitzos. Oh, but if you're doing Mechitzos, So then in such a case, then that is going to be Aser. Where did we see that? We saw that in Tosos. The Tosos said, if you're not doing Mechitzas, no problem, by all right. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Gam lo Asru, Ki im b'sha Aser k'seder mitchilas ha-Mechitzas. When will it be Aser to put down Mechitzas? Only when you do it k'seder. What was that? Shabu is going backwards. That was the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you do it shalok seder, it's mutter. So we have, the way the Mishabu presents it, is that we have two eterim. Unfortunately, this is not halacha l'maisa l'maisa yet, but this is the general rule, that when either you're not putting down mechitzas, it's mutter, or even if you're putting down mechitzas, like we read in the Shulchan Aruch, if you do it shalok seder, then it's also going to be mutter. That's how the Mishabu presents it now. Avol imasal hefich lo asru. The yesh poskim, and there are some poskim shesovrim the beinan sheitzarach gamkein lavir shetachtav, and there are some poskim who hold that we have heter number four. Heter number four is that you need to be interested in the avir tachtav. So even if you have mechitzas, and even if you do a kiseder, if you're not interested in the avir tachtav, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter as well. And he concludes, v'chein pasach ha-mechaber l'kamon. This is what the mechaber paskins in Siv Zayin. Take a look at Siv Zayin. Says the mechaber, mutter laniach sefer echad mikan ve'echad mikan ve'echad al gabeyan hol vein tzarech la'avir shetachteyan. You're allowed to put up svarim one on top of each other. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah then makes reference, of course, to Hilchos Svarim. There's a lot of hak in the Beis Medrash of what you're allowed to put on what, when you're allowed to put svarim on top of each other. I would like to discuss it, but now's not the right time. So Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says that the halacha is that you're allowed to create an oel of svarim because you're not interested in the avir tefteim. So this is another heter. Now, what makes things a little bit complicated is we have four heterim. They're all in front of you on your page. But how we use them, lemaisa lemaisa, is going to get a little bit nuanced. But these are the four heterim. Number one is to do a change in the shinui. Number two is that if you don't have mechitzas. Number three is that you're not interested in the avir tachteim. How they don't always work alone. Sometimes they're going to need to work with each other's friend. The fourth, of course, is what we discussed previously, and that is Avid Vikoy. Okay, let me develop a little bit over here. Okay. How do we use this Lamaisa? So it comes along the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkat and Chav Beis, and he presents a Chumrah. And he says, what does it mean that you have mechitzas? And what does it mean that you don't have mechitzas? Now, I would have thought that mechitzas means that you have four sides with a little bit of space to put your legs under the shulchan. However, the Taz in Sif Katan Chav Beis is a little bit more machmir than that. Take a look at Sif Katan Chav Beis in the Mishnah Berurah. Kasavataz, da'af bid de betur isa dalid dafnim mechubarin lav dafkuhu. De bemita shederech leishtamesh ba'avira mitachas ba'anhochas min olim ukiyotze ba'asur. If the derech is for you to put stuff underneath, so then in such a case, then it's going to be asur, even if you don't have mechitzos, because we learned the Rajba. The Rajba and the Beis Yosef said that if you have something that's made for the Avir Tachtav, then you don't need mechitzos. So therefore, a bed comes out the Mishnah Berurah, you're going to have to do a shinui. Because a bed, you're interested in the Avir Tachtav. And this is already halacha lemaisa. When it comes to making a bed, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the halacha is that you need to have a shinui. Why? Because it resembles an ol arai. How does it resemble an ol arai? Because you're interested in the avir tachtav. It doesn't have mechitzas. You don't need mechitzas, according to the Rajba, to be considered as if you're making an ol arai. Okay? So this is one application of those four rules that we learned before. Another application, continues the Mishnah Berurah, is a shulchan. A shulchan, he says, it depends. If you have all four sides with mechitzos, then the Taz says, then I don't care what you say, whether you're interested or not. It looks like you're interested in that, in the Avir Tachta. And Taka, it is that way. Again, when you look at these desks, the fact that at three sides have mechitzos shows that the area underneath is more chashuv than another desk that only has four little kundesin that are holding them up. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah continues, if you have a shulchan with four mechitzas, you would also need a different heter. What would that heter be? A shinui, to do it out of order. And that's the way to read the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, there is a Rajba that is more machmir, that's quoted in the Be'er Halacha. We are not going to go with that Rajba, because Halacha L'maisa, I would like to learn it with you, but at 4:15, it's not the best time to go through a detailed Rajba that's not a Liba de Hilchasa. At the end of the day, both the Shmir Shabbos Hilchasa and the Aruch HaShabbos, when they give us Halacha L'maisa, are not choshesh for this Rajba, bottom line, but I want to make you aware that there is a Rajba in the Be'er Halacha. It's kedai to see that Be'er Halacha. So now let's read the Shulchan Aruch with his psak, according to how the Mishnah Berurah paskins me'ikra d'dina. Zakt the mechaber, mita, kishem ha'midin osa asur laniach ha'raglayim tchila. When in bed, you got to change the order because it's going to be an ola right. Ulaniach leim krashim, ela yesh krashim tchila ba'vir, v'achakach ha'raglayim tachtein. V'hani mili, kisharagolim ein dapin mechubarim. That's only if you have walls. Comes along the Taz, but if it's four mechitzas, that's what the Mishnah Berurah adds, if it's four mechitzas, even by a shulchan, we're going to be machmir, and by a mita, you don't even need four mechitzas, even two mechitzas is going to be enough, because you're more interested in the avir tachtav. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, I would say, if you read the Mishnah Berurah, is as follows. If you have raglayim that are dapim mechubarim kmo dafne hateva, based on the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a bed that has two sides, and because it's normal for people to already throw stuff under their bed, so then in such a case, you would need a shinui, even if only has two sides of mechitzas. And with a table, you need four sides of mechitzas. Which would lead me to say that halacha l'maisa, if a person wanted, you know, this comes up, we're having a Shabbaton, right? In a week from the Shabbos. So you have, this is how many of the tables work. When I was discussing with Rav Ben-Nash, because I wanted to run something by, make sure to see if he agreed with me, my cheshbon, I'm going to end up coming out more lahakel than the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So he asked me, when does it come up l'maisa? So just on the our Shabbaton, it's going to be l'maisa. What do you have? Often in catering halls, you'll have, and in our auditorium as well, you'll have tables where you just have the metal base, and the workers just roll a wooden circle onto to the table. So in such a case, would it be mutter to put first down the metal base, and then put the wooden slab on top? So I'm pointing out, it's not only those days when they had very crude tables. Even in catering today, those types of tables are used. So what would come out? According to the way we read the Mishnah Berurah, it should be fine, because you need mechitzas. If there's mechitzas, so then in such a case, then it shows that you want to have your tachta. But in general, you and I know, no one's interested in the mechitzas underneath. You're interested in the table above, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And this is how the Aruch HaShabbos passes. Take a look at the Aruch HaShabbos that I photocopied. I think this is after the Shrine I photocopied for you. The Aruch HaShabbos says, all the way at the end. I do have it. It's in the previous page. Shin Zayin. Harkavas Shulchan B'Shabbos. Hamarkiv shulchan alidei shenosim raglayim mikan v'raglayim mikan v'daf al gabeim harezim mutar minadin. By the way, he says minadin because the Rajba might be machmer that I referred to before. V'chem mutar lefarik shulchan kazan. You're allowed to take away such a shulchan. And you could be medam and milsa lemilsa that there are instances that would qualify. It would seem to me halacha lemaisa that one could definitely follow this pesach l'archa Shabbos. I did notice, because I always start with the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and I didn't understand this formulation. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, I figured out why, is more machmir. Rav Neuwirth Zatzal in Chav Dalet, Chav Gimel, adds a caveat that to me seems to be, a little bit that I understand, seems to be a little bit of a chiddush. It's not Chav Gimel, it's somewhere else. Just a second. It appears in Yud Zayin. Chav Dalet, Yud Zayin. He says, Asur lahami mechitzos v'lifroso hechalein. He starts out first that you can't put mechitzos down and put a schach on top of them. Ulam, five lines into Yud Zayin. This is page Shin Yud Gimel. Ulam im ein sham mechitzos klal. O sheyesh mechitzos avu ein rochban tefach echa lefachos. Then it's going to be permissible. Will work well with the Mishnah Berurah. It's only going to be asur if you put four mechitzos. Less than four mechitzos is going to be mutter. Now, most tables have four legs. And therefore, he says in Yud Tes, V'lochein, harotza lahamid shulchan be'ezras raglayim she'aleihem, meniach midafo krashim, tov yasim lo yasim tchilas haraglayim, imein rechovos tefach o yoser. Continuing to the next page, v'aleihem es hamadaf. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa paskins, that you should first put down the leg, you first put down the wood, and then only afterwards the legs, based on the Gemara that we saw, that says with a shinui, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. How come the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa came out l'chumra? So I realized he introduced a new chumra that the Archa Shabbos did not learn, and that is that it seems to me that if you take a look in Yud Zayin, he said that if the mechitzas are a tefach wide, now many, many legs of tables have a circumference. The circumference of a tefach. Many do. And therefore, it happens to be the catering tables might not. But many, you know, nice tables have a... And therefore, he's choshesh that when you have a tefach worth of mechitza, so then it's considered as if you have the mechitzos surrounding. L'hagdil Torah l'adira, I'll just tell you why I find the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quite mechudosh. At the end of the day, this is a chumrah agabe chumrah agabe chumrah. It's not only a shulchan agabe raglayim. It's a chumrah agabe chumrah. Dahainu. That at the end of the day, we saw that according to most Rishonim, that if you're not interested in the avir tachtov, it's automatically mutter. Secondly, over here, it's hard to imagine that it's considered mechitzos. Why were we machmir for mechitzos by a shulchan? Because the Taz says when it's so obvious that it's makif bidalid on the dalid side, on the four sides, then for sure you're interested in the mechitzos. But that's when it's entirely surrounded. But it's just legs. So then in such a case, to say that that would qualify as mechitzos, even if halachically it's considered a tefach of mechitza, to say that that would automatically turn it to a mechitza, that there's an umdana demuchach, that you're interested in that which is underneath, that is a chidush agave chidush, and therefore it would seem to me that one could follow the lenient position of the Archa Shabbos. even though the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa is machmer. At the end of the day, we have a rule, according to almost all the poskim, that a shulchan, you're not interested in the mechitzas tachta. When it comes to a mita, so there, the poskim tended to assume that you are interested in avir tachtav, and then in such a case, then you could be mefaltel whether that would qualify as being a mechitza according to the Taz. The pashas of the Taz was that you need two datim on either side. Go back to the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch himself. The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch was v'hani milikisha graglayim heim dapim michubarim kamo dafne hateva, like a box. So these desks have three sides being similar to a box. But everything else doesn't. The Chura, I think that there would be a lot of room to be made though. Okay. So I think you now have the klalim. The klalim are that if you do a shinoi, it's automatically mutter. If there aren't mechitzas, so then in such a case, also the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. And then there's a discussion in regards to our beds today and our shulchanos today. Finally, three practical discussions, and with this, it's the after the Shemayim to wrap up. An umbrella. An umbrella is a famous give and take in the poskim. Because of the lateness of the hour, I will only give you just the headlines. If you take a look in Be'er Halacha Di Ramaskel Tefach, which appears on page 247. The Be'er Halacha quotes Masu Matan, which existed between the Nodeb Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer. The Nodeb Yehuda was machmir on what's referred to as a parasol. The parasol then got changed. By the time the Chafetz Chaim was already called an umbrella. And the Shaila was whether one could open an umbrella or not. The Nodeb Yehuda was machmir. And the crunch of the Nodeb Yehuda's Chumrah, that qualifies as Oel, can be found four lines from the bottom in the Be'er Halacha on page 247. The Kol Heicha de Miskaven L'Shem Oel, if he intends it to be an Oel, Da'inu L'Hagim Mipnei Achama V'Akshamim, he intends to protect himself from either the sun or the rain, so then in such a case we know that even if it doesn't have Mechitzos, it's going to be Asa, right? Because we saw that an Oel Arai, that you're interested in Masha Tachta of Lahagin, is clearly going to be an Issa D'Rabban. Then he asks on himself, but wait a second. But didn't we learn that there's a heter of Kisei Trasko? So he says, no, buy a Kisei Trasko, there you don't have to do anything, you just have to fold and open. He says, the umbrella, the parasol, you have to spread it out, flatten it, and even tie it with Ritzuos to the bottom. So the note of Yehuda came out l'chumra. Many of the poskim point out the obvious point, and that is, it could very well be that the note of Yehuda was dealing with the times where umbrellas were made differently, where umbrella required a maisa. But nowadays, where umbrella opens and closes, mi'ikr d'dina should not qualify as oel, because it falls into the first heter of Ovid Vikoi. The Chazon Ish even goes further. The Chazon Ish says that even the old umbrellas, the halacha should be that it would be mutter. But kal v'chomer, the newer umbrellas would not be an iser of oel. We're going to come out that no one justifies opening up an umbrella, but the question is, why is it going to be usher? So if you take a look at the Chazon Ish, first just to see the Chazon Ish's disagreement with the Nodeb Yehuda, Chazon Ish appears on the back of the booklet, Nun Beis Vav, quotes the Nodeb Yehuda, and then he says as following. Umikal makom, kivan shu guf echad, v'chein derech tashmisho ein kan oel. V'hainu nami, taima deloma mimenu amagin avram, heter prisa sachupa achal gavdu mechavin oel. He says, at the end of the day, it should be considered as guf echad. And this is the Derech Tashmisho. And therefore, it should be mutter. And he goes so far as to say, even if it was attached to the ground, it should be mutter as well to open and close. That's the Chazon Ish's position. In another place, the Chazon Ish also points out that something that a person just simply holds on to and puts over their head, in such a case, would be mutter as well. So he doesn't think it's going to qualify as oel for two different fronts. Number one, it's avid vikoy. Number two, holding up over your head is going to be mutter. But the Chazon Ish comes out lesser for two reasons. Number one, as he says, it's too much uvda d'chol. It's not clear why the Chazon Ish concluded that the umbrella is uvda d'chol, but that's what he writes, that it's uvda d'chol. Doesn't explain. And also, he says, even though it won't be oel, it'll be tikkun mana. It'll qualify as tikkun mana. It's not oel. There you have the heter of avid v'koi, but it's going to qualify as tikkun mana. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal asked on the Chazon Ish, he says, what's the difference between tikkun mana and oel? If you have a heter of avid v'koi and saying that it's already existing, so it's not considered oel, you should also say that it doesn't qualify as tikkun mana. This discussion all appears in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. It appears in Sif Tesvav. Sif Tesvav, the Lashon of Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa is Godar Gidru Gidolei Adoros V'Amru She'en Liftoach Mitria O Shemisha B'Shabbos V'Yantif G'Shem She'en T'Foslan Kach Ein L'Kaplon. And he banished the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa Mamish Paskins like the Chazon Ish. This is quite heady at the end, where he says, if it's attached to the ground, then you're allowed to open and close what are they called? The beach, the tables. You have the umbrellas over the tables. So then in such a case, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa says that you'll be allowed to open and close those umbrellas. You don't have the Tikkun Mane part. It's all... it was something that was already existing. It's like opening and closing a door, in contrast somehow to the umbrella. And therefore, he goes up against the Noda Yehuda with the argument of Avid Likoy. If you take a look in Sif Katan Nun Gimel, you'll see where Rav Shlomo Zalman asks that one could ask on the Chazon Ish, what's the difference between the Avid Likoy that's Matir Oel versus the Avid Likoy that's Matir making the umbrella. But the minute, this is one of those cases where the mini Yisrael has come out to be machmir, and you won't find any pev lahashiv. You won't find anybody today that will be matir using an umbrella, even though it's not pashut, that the act is being oel, if it is oel, and placing it over your head is also not oel if it's something that a person is carrying according to many shitas. Which brings us to the second to last topic. In regards to placing a talus over one's head, so over here, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in other words, let me spell what I mean, is using any type of beged or talus and spreading it out with the intent of making it a canopy. So the Minhag Yisrael for generations has been to do it for Chasanim on Simchas Torah, and there are two explanations that are given. Number one, the Chazon Ish l'shitaso, and it's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Chav Dalet Ha'ara Chav Aleph, says that if you hold something over your head, that will never be a oel. By holding something over your head, that cannot qualify as oel. This is a position of the Chazon Ish. He quotes the Ksos HaShulchan as saying that the reason why it's mutter is that you don't intend to make an oel. You're doing it for stam kavod ba'almo. Remember, what was the definition of oel? Definition of oel is lahagen keneged hachama v'keneged hashemesh. It's being done as a kavod ba'alma. So since it's being done, the kavod ba'alma, it's going to be mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman said to Rav Neuwirth, anaf gemina by the kotel. He says, sometimes by the kotel they use a talus to cover the Sefer Torah for kavod, and sometimes they do it because it rains. So if they're using the talus to cover for the rain, so it'll be talui in the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Noah in the Tzos HaShulchan. If you say that the reason why it's going to be mutter is because of kavod, so then in such a case, there, when you're covering with to protect from the rain, you're definitely interested to create a kisui lema shetachta. You're interested in the avir shetachta, and therefore it would be aser. But according to Ksos HaShulchan, and therefore it would be aser if it's just for kavod. However, according to the Chazon Ish, who says that holding something above you can never qualify as olal, so then in such a case, it would be mutter. A bonus would be to plug in the Noda Behuda into all the above questions, where the Noda Behuda is more machmir than the Chazon Ish, and to see what the Noda Behuda would say. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I decided not to do that. Finally, last interesting shaila that we didn't discuss, which is discussed in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Ha'ara Tezayin, is in regards to a case of where you have a half a tefach of an olah. Let's say a half a tefach of an olah is made, and you want to add another half of a tefach. In such a case, is that considered as if you've done an olah? Remember, we learned that what's the isser of olah? It's making something a tefach. And if it already had a tefach, then you're allowed to be mosif. What if it's a half a tefach, or a third of a tefach, and you mosif two-thirds of a tefach? So Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that the halacha is that when it comes to other malachos, if you're mashlim the thing, then that would be considered an isur. So too, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that that would qualify as an isur d'oraisa. So coming back to the halacha being mosif ala ol tefach, you have to be careful that there's already a tefach there. If there's less than a tefach, even if you yourself did less than a tefach, that would be considered hashlama samalacha. Could very well be that would be an isur d'oraisa. So similar, you have in regards to kosef. Let's say somebody wrote two letters. He wants to write the word aid, A-I-D. And he wrote the word A-I, and you added the D. Could very well be that it's considered al-pi alacha, that you did kosev, ksivas, two osios, because you were being mitzdar for your os to another os. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman said, one should be machmir. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, tam v'nishlam, hilchas isur asiyas oel. B'siyata d'shmaya, on Sunday, we will have a hakdama. It just works better for my scheduling to have a hakdama on Sunday. I hope it works for everybody as well. Hakdama for Muktza. I think I already sent out to the group the Mar Makamos for Muktza. That will be on Sunday, and then the next year will be Thursday, which will be fine because Muktza requires a lot of hard work, and that in Mirza Hashem will be Thursday. What I wanted to ask the Chevra was that if there's any interest, Rav Miller was into it, if there was an interest, and then I'll ask amongst others if people are ready.